you are newer to Yorkson and you walk in and you're like, this is weird. Is this church? Like, it doesn't look like church. You're right. Four times a year, Yorkson doesn't put chairs out in rows. We put tables out. And this is because we have potluck after the service. So we believe in connecting with each other. And it's a big part of who we are. And so we get to do that over a meal. If you are sitting here and you're like, I didn't bring anything. I'm not allowed to come. Wrong. You are allowed to come. And you're allowed to eat the food. You're allowed to have seconds, thirds, fourths, whatever you want, all right? Because, we want to just, create the space where we just have a meal together, get to know each other a little bit, and, connecting is part of the DNA of Yorkson, so we're so glad you're here. Except our youth. You have to wait for seconds till everyone else has some, all right? Just joking. I want to let you guys know, today is a really, really big day because Will and Angela are here today, and you're like, that's great. Well, just yesterday at Hillside Church in Coquitlam, Will and Angela got married. Look at this. It was such a great ceremony. They told everybody, please don't take pictures. I snuck a picture from where I was sitting, so not really allowed. But isn't that a great picture? And you guys did so well. So you know what? Can you guys stand? Oh! Are we allowed kissing in church? Yes! Congratulations, guys. And you're here at church the very next day. Amazing. Awesome. All right. So you may remember, or if you're new, I want to just kind of bring you up to speed. We are officially halfway, as of today, through our fall series called First Love, Capturing a Vision for Why We Follow Jesus. So maybe you're here and you're just checking out faith and you're checking out who Jesus is. We're so glad you're here. And more than anything, we just hope that you're able to, even through today, understand a little bit more of this crazy amount of love that God has for us. Maybe if you're a Jesus follower, though, maybe you can remember back to a simpler time when you followed Jesus. Maybe a time when it was just better, it was sweeter, like you tasted grace and God's goodness, and it was just awesome. We wanted to say our days of following Jesus, our best days are ahead of us. In Bryan Adams' famous song, Summer of 69, he says in the chorus, if you're getting in your head, just think about this. He says this in the bridge. Now, how many of you remember that? You start playing the song along in your head, right? Just think of these words, though. It says, when I look back now, and he says, those were the best days of my life. For someone who's living in whatever time they are, they're looking back to that summer of 69 going, man, those were the years. Those were the months that was the best for me. And again, we can look at this in regards to all of life. Maybe our time in high school, we look back and we're like, that was our best time in our life. Maybe it's living in a certain city, working at a certain place, or maybe we just, again, feel like this season in our lives was better than it is now. This happens spiritually too. But this 8 weeks, we're walking through saying our best days of following Jesus, I think God says to us, they are ahead of us. For 7 weeks, we are exploring practices of following Jesus and how these are pathways to seeing God at work. And so today, our focus is prayer. And here's the question I want us to kind of think about as we are moving through this today. How does prayer allow us to see and receive God's love? Let's think about this just for a moment. How does prayer allow us to see and receive God's love? Well, how do we receive God's love? I think it's through God talking to us. And how does God talk to us? Well, Pastor John Ortberg wrote in his book, God is Closer Than You Think. He says this. He says, God talks through burning bushes and braying donkeys. He speaks through storms and rainbows, through cooking, small talk, sports, and music. And I love this line, all the places where the gravy soaks in. I don't know if you're a gravy fan here, but in my family, all of our family would get together. There was like 20 or 30 of us for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I was always the last one to get the gravy. Always. It had to go all the way around because I from my potatoes to my salad, everything just tasted like gravy because I just doused it on. all the places where the gravy soaks in. I love this image of that's where God is. But just think about this for a moment. I'm not sure about what your prayer life is like or how you view prayer, but what if prayer was actually a protest to the problem that we find ourselves living in? What if prayer was a form of protest to the culture that we live in? You see, all of this God talk is not exactly popular in our culture today. In Western civilization in 2024, we just don't talk a lot about God. Now, you may think this is all across the world if you only you live here and you see the perspective here, but actually, it's not. We live in a secularist culture here, but there are actually very theist cultures around the world. And understand, in other words, if we started telling them that God wasn't really relevant in our day and age, they would not understand. There are lots of places where they believe in a higher power. They believe in God, and now they're trying to work that out. So we are a little bit of an oddball in that sense. But again, secularism is everywhere. A few years ago, there was a Canadian author named Charles Taylor, and he wrote a book describing our culture called The Secular Age. I don't know if some of you have grabbed it. I don't know if you've tried to start working through it. It is exactly 894 pages, and as it's been described, dense pages. This is not easy reading before bed, but it's observing and describing the culture we live in. What is this place that we live in here in the West? It is the secular age. And there's a term that Charles Taylor talks about in this book. I read a synopsis on this book. I haven't read all 894. I'm not quite there yet. But he talks about this thing called the imminent frame. Okay, put that in your mind, the imminent frame. The imminent frame, he says, is this worldview that says everything is natural, and what you see in front of you is all there is. All you see in front of you is all there is. Have you ever gone into a meal where you were just like really, really hungry? Sometimes Michelle and I go to the Keg, and on Keg nights, I try to make sure that I don't eat much lunch. I don't have any snacks in the afternoon. I don't want to cheat because I don't want to get to the Keg kind of full. But when it comes time, I'm like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I'm like, oh, I can't do it. There's no way, I gotta eat something. And I'm like, don't do it, man, don't do it. Save it for the Keg. And finally, when I get to the Keg, it's like all I can do is focus on food. I'm just so excited for food. So Michelle tries to talk small talk to me, and I'm like, yeah, it's not working. I'm so hungry. And I try to watch the TV. There's a sports game, and I'm like, it's not working. All I can think about is the steak coming. And once the steak comes, nothing else matters. Nothing. I mean, Michelle, of course, matters. Let me get you wrong. But the food, you know, the steak, it's all I can think of. It's right in front of me. If Michelle said, let's go for a walk, I'm like, no, I can't do it. No, can't do it. The potatoes, those garlic mashed potatoes, they're so good. And the steak, they're right in front of me, and that's all I can think about. That's kind of in a sense of what our secular society says. All we can think about is what's in front of us, and we are consumed with that. Nothing else matters. And in fact, in our secular society, all this talk about does God exist, does he not exist, da, 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 it actually is very irrelevant because all that matters is what's in front of me. Things like going to work and getting to work on time, doing a project around the house, planning the next vacation, the text that comes on our screen, surfing social media, buying the new iPhone, which is really, really cool, by the way. It looks awesome. Or the Pixel 8, if you're more of an Android person. I think that's the newest one. Getting to bed on time and then getting ready to do it all over again. What's important to us? It's what's in front of us, and nothing else matters. Well, you see, if you're a follower of Jesus, we don't really believe this, and yet there are issues in the way this comes into it as well. James K.A. Smith, who wrote this book, How Not to Be Secular, he says this: our neighbors are no longer bothered by the God question as a question because they live in, get this here, they live in a world that offers significance without transcendence. I love that saying. Basically, they don't feel like anything is missing. Well, again, in our Christian world, we don't live like this in the sense that we believe that God is alive, that God is very real, and that he walks in our world. But how much does he walk in our world? A lot of times we can actually compartmentalize between like our natural world and the God world. And actually, as Christians, we believe in the existence of God, but sometimes our natural world and the God world are almost like the Montagues and the Capulets, if you've read Romeo and Juliet. It's like the worlds just don't really mix. Once in a while, God may put his hand down through supernaturally into the natural world. We call those things miracles or interjections. You know, if it's a forecasted rainy day for a wedding and suddenly it's beautiful out, it's like, it's a miracle. God reached down and like cleared the pot. Those things, but they don't happen regularly. Usually the two worlds are separate. But if we look through scripture, this is actually not how Jesus saw the world at all. In fact, Jesus saw and sees our world as a God-saturated world. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus knew his Father, he knew the love of his Father, and he constantly said that his love is with us, it's surrounding us, the Father's love is closer than we think. It's closer than we think. On November 16th, 2017, people at the 50th Street subway station in New York were just going about their business, buying tickets, running to a train, talking to a few people, but they're all busy, as you can imagine, during rush hour at any subway station in New York. Well, as they did, they couldn't really be bothered by a group of buskers singing their hearts out to the song Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen. Well, the band got through most of their song without anyone noticing that Jimmy Fallon and Maroon 5 were the ones making the music. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, though, someone stopped because they thought they heard the voice of their favorite singer, Adam Levine. This person had only heard Adam Levine on Spotify or TV before, and suddenly as he looked at this guy in all dressed up, he realized, I think this is him. And so he stopped, and of course, instantly a whole crowd begins to gather, and by the end of the song, everyone knew who these people were. And so the band played a few more songs. Can you just imagine being there on that day? It'd be so cool. Look at all the crowd. They're just like, this is the best day ever. I would love that. It would be so fun. See, Adam Levine was closer than anyone thought. And the entire time, he was right there among them. Any Adam Levine or Maroon 5 fans, would you be excited about this? No. Okay. I would be excited about it. And we got to listen to some of their music later on. But think about this. How would you feel if we actually knew, believed, and practiced this idea and this reality that God is closer than we think? That we don't live in the natural world with God sometimes breaking in. We don't live in the consumption of what is just right in front of us. But that actually God was everywhere, just as Jesus said. That he's with us in our office, working away on tasks. That he's with us as we sit in class or walk to and from school. That he's beside us when we're enjoying a good meal or talking to a friend. That God is championing us when we feel terrible about ourselves or when we succeed, when we fail. When we're in a room full of people or we're just by ourselves. Prayer is a protest to our culture that God is not relevant. Prayer is a protest to say that our worlds don't mix, but rather that we have the privilege of talking to God because he constantly longs for us. I love this in John 1. It says, he was in the world was there through him. And yet the world didn't even notice, just like Jimmy Fallon. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. He moved right into the neighborhood. He was closer than anyone could have dared think. And so think about this. What do we do if we believe that prayer is more than just offering up a flare to say, God, are you there? Please help. What if we believed that instead of these two separate worlds, that they actually mixed all the time and that God was always among us? Where do we begin? Well, Jesus says this. He says, if this is all true, here's what I want you to do. In Luke 11, it says, ask, seek, and knock. And so I say to you, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. See, Jesus is challenging us. I think he's not saying, don't just understand the worlds collide, but because of that, prayer is a way of talking to God who is among us. Try this. Ask, seek, and knock, and see how I will show up in your life. I so wish this meant that life would be so much easier. God, could you just help this person say yes to me? In junior high school to be my girlfriend, it'd be so much better in life. God, can you just say no to the police officer who wants to give me a ticket and he'll walk away? God, can you help me pass my exam, please? I know I really haven't studied for it. And God, winning that lottery ticket would be so much fun. We can also ask questions like, God, can you take away the pain in my life? God, can you heal a relationship that I see is broken around me? I wish all of these things could happen the moment we prayed. But I believe that the promise that Jesus wants to give us from his Heavenly Father is himself. Is himself. Jesus continues on and he says this. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How many fathers, you don't have to raise your hand, just fathers in this room, think about this, okay? You probably have given a gift to your child. Maybe it's Christmas morning, maybe it's their birthday, and you're like, here you go. One time, our son was really quite young, and we just found out quite early he hated potatoes. Who hates potatoes? I don't understand. But he hated potatoes. And so one year for Christmas, we just wrapped up a potato and gave it to him. And you could just tell, there's some videos, you should watch some of these videos of kids who open things that are like weird, but he just opened it, he just looked at us like puzzled, like, what are you doing? Why would you ever do this? Jesus is saying, which of you fathers, if your son says to you, Dad, can I have a fish, would actually give him a real snake instead and say, go play with the snake? Or if he asked for an egg, you'd give him a scorpion instead. He says, of course we don't do that. Why? Because we love our kids. But I love the little dig here. Jesus says, even though you guys are evil, and there's some evil folks around you, you still wouldn't do this. But then how much more does my Father in heaven want to lavish good gifts on his people? And what does he want to give? He wants to give himself. Verse 13 finishes. It says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What is the gift that God gives us when we ask? It is not a list full of things, yes, no, please, yes. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Holy Spirit for things, and he says, I will give you myself. I will give you peace, as we sung about. When the rain comes, I will give you a peace to walk through this in strength. I will give you an understanding, even when we don't understand. I will allow you to get up and keep walking day by day, even in the hardest of circumstances. Ask, seek, and knock. God is delighted to give us more of Him. And so, as we think about this, even this week, that we would reframe prayer, that we would lean into prayer, again, not as our culture sees it, as that God is irrelevant. We would see it as not as a Christian secularist, is that God is real, but He actually never really collides in worlds. But that actually God is among us, that He's in this room right now, that He goes with you to your weeks ahead, that He goes to the rest of what you are doing in everyday life. And it says here, He wants to give us the gift of Himself, the Holy Spirit. What are we supposed to do? Ask, seek, and knock. To understand that prayer is talking and conversing with our Heavenly Father who loves us. Would you join me for a few moments to pray and respond? I want to just invite us, I know it's kind of a relative quiet. You don't have to tell the kids to stop or anything, but I just want to invite you in your place, if you can, to be quiet. And if you so desire, that you would ask, seek, and knock right now. That maybe God is bringing something to mind. Maybe you just feel dry. Maybe you feel like, my best days are behind me. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today. He wants to remind us how much He loves us. So would we take a few moments now in relative quiet and just ask, seek, and knock together. Father, I thank You for who You are, that You are a good Heavenly Father to us. And that contrary to maybe what many may think, that You are actually among us. You are at work. You care about Your creation deeply. And I think of my friends here today, that we're here, and that I think a lot of us are striving so hard in life over good things. And God, for any of us today who maybe just You haven't been on our radar a whole lot. Holy Spirit, would You reveal Yourself to us? Would You remind us that You are at work to us and through us? And would You remind us that You want to speak love in our lives? And so would You meet us in our joy this morning? Would You meet us in our need this morning? And remind us that You are better than anything that we could possibly want. Fill us today by Your Spirit, and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.